On episode 315 of Nintendo Switchcraft, we've got a first look at Labo VR, a tease for Persona 5R. Let's show some love to the lesser known indies and a giveaway on this episode of Nintendo Switchcraft. Switchcraft is brought to you live three times a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 3 p.m. U.S. Eastern and on Saturday at whatever time I can get to it. Tune in live over at twitch.tv/runjumpstomp. This episode of Switchcraft is brought to you by Scott R. Get Switchcraft and my other content ad-free for as little as a dollar over at patreon.com/runjumpstomp. I'm going to try not to do this too much, everybody, but I've got a new podcast that I want you guys to check out. It's called StadiaCast. It is all about Google Stadia, and you can check it out by going to anchor.fm/StadiaCast, or you can just go to runjumpstomp.com/shows. It's me and Lloyd, who is the host of Nintendo Pulse. We got excited about Stadia and decided that we wanted to start a show about that. So if you want to check that out, it would really mean a lot to us if you would head on over there and subscribe. Right now, we're having trouble getting it on all of the places. It takes forever sometimes for a podcast to get approved on Apple, and then all the other places wait for Apple to approve a podcast. So we're kind of in like this limbo zone. But if you use a different podcasting client, you can add the RSS feed directly to your podcasting client for most of them, and that'll start the download. But you can also just listen to it at the site. Again, it's called StadiaCast. That's S-T-A-D-I-A cast. Make sure you check that out. And we're gonna be recording that on Sunday. The next episode is actually gonna be recorded a week from tomorrow. So that will be on Sunday, I can't remember. I'm clicking on it. March 31st at 10 a.m. And we're going to be live streaming that over at the StadiaCast YouTube channel, which is, we'll just go to YouTube and search for StadiaCast. Anyway, let's talk about Nintendo stuff.
When it comes to space games, nobody compares to Atari.
Excuse me, have you compared them to Intellivision?
Intellivision?
Sure, they've got great space games, like Intellivision Space Battle.
I didn't know.
So back in December at the Game Awards, I think it was the Game Awards. Yeah, at the Game Awards, Nintendo surprised the hell out of everybody by showing off that Joker from Persona, who I don't know who that is. I just know that he's from that game because I haven't played the Persona games. But Joker from Persona is going to be in Smash Brothers. And this was really surprising to a lot of people, myself included, because Persona 5, the game that Joker is famous for being in, is not on the Nintendo Switch. So fast forward a little bit, and we ended up getting some leaks about something called Persona 5R. There was a Persona 5, or no, it was P5R.jp, and that was a Persona website. And people were like, oh my goodness, so we're getting some kind of Persona 5 reboot or some kind of Persona 5 remake or something like that. But what it actually stands for is The Royal, which is surprising. A lot of people were also guessing that it was Persona 5 Ruby. And a lot of people, myself included, figured, all right, well, we're getting Persona 5R. That means that that's going to have the Switch version because it makes perfect sense. Joker is now going to be the first, I can't say the first DLC for Smash Brothers Ultimate because we got Piranha Plant. But other than Piranha Plant, he's the first DLC for Smash Brothers Ultimate. And I mean, that means they have to bring Persona 5 to the Nintendo Switch. Otherwise, what the hell are they doing? And then Atlus, which is the company that makes the Persona games, they said, we've got something happening in March. So by the end of March, we're going to reveal something. And then yesterday, or no, today, actually, I can't remember when the hell it happened. It was either today or yesterday. I'm not sure because I was busy. But I think it was today. Earlier today, Persona 5 R, there's like this 45-second clip announcing Persona 5 R The Royal, and it has a, like a new character in it. And everybody's watching and watching and waiting for that, you know, the red and the white thing to come down and go, the Nintendo's Switch sound to happen. And it didn't happen. And people are like, wait a second. Where is Persona 5 R for the Nintendo Switch? And Atlas isn't saying anything and Nintendo isn't saying anything. And that's what happens when you assume. When you assume, you know what they say about what happens when you assume. Just break that word up into three parts. When you assume, get what I'm saying? Anyway, does this mean that Persona 5 R is not coming to the Switch? No. But so far, we don't know what's happening. Maybe they weren't ready. Maybe they're having trouble getting it to run. A lot of people have said that that is a beautiful, beautiful video game. And maybe they're having trouble getting decent frame rates and they have to delay it or something. Or maybe it was never the plan to bring it to the Switch. Maybe, and as somebody who's not played Persona 5, I don't know if this is the case or not, but maybe Joker is the lead character in Persona 6. And Persona 6 will be on the Nintendo Switch. Nobody knows. But I know that there was a lot of people who were hedging their bets and watching the Persona 5 R 45-second little clip, and they were all a little crestfallen when there was no Nintendo Switch announcement. And all I have to say about that is, sorry that you got your hopes up. I think that's too bad. And cross your fingers that it happens in the future, because all bets are off. And I'm not trying to be spiteful or anything, but a part of me, a very, very small part of me, almost hopes that they never bring Persona 5 to the Switch, if for no other reason than just it would confuse and befuddle people about Joker being in Smash. But Joker's never been on a Nintendo console. That doesn't make any sense, and I agree. Although I don't really want that to happen, because I want everybody to be able to play everything on the platform of their choice. So I don't really want that to happen. I just think it would be kind of funny. Anyway, so there's your Persona 5 not news.
Hello, look. Hey, listen.
Well, we finally got our first look. And when I say first look, pretty often I'm talking about a YouTube video that I posted to YouTube. But that's not the case. We didn't get that kind of first look. And for this particular stuff, you're probably not going to get a first look from me, because I'm not personally interested in it. But we got our first look at the Labo VR kit. Nintendo released a video which kind of showed what are the various games like that you get when you buy this kit. Now, before we go any further, I'm just going to make sure that everybody knows the prices. So if you want the VR kit expansion set 1, that comes for $19.99, and that includes the components that you need to build the Toy-Con elephant and the Toy-Con camera. Okay. Expansion set 2 also costs $19.99, and that one gives you the stuff that you need to build the Toy-Con wind pedal and the Toy-Con bird. And we're going to talk about all of these different things, but they've really got some interesting stuff. Let's first I want to talk about each one of the games that they showed off. So they started off with the ocean camera. I don't know if they started off with it. I can't remember what order it was in, but that's where I'm going to start. I'm going to start with the ocean camera, and this is the Toy-Con camera kit that you have to use in order to use the ocean camera game. So basically, what Nintendo says is you dive into the deep blue virtual sea and complete objectives by taking photos of sea life. The ocean is full of surprises. So I think that's kind of cool. I don't know why Nintendo isn't leaning on Pokemon for the Toy-Con camera. It seems like the obvious thing to do, but I don't know. Maybe that's why Nintendo's not doing it. Maybe Nintendo isn't interested in obvious. Maybe Nintendo only wants to do things that are bananas and weird. And of course, that's what Nintendo does. That's their soup of the day. Well, it's like their soup of the every day, really, because that's just what Nintendo does. They always go for the weird. I personally would have liked to see a revival of Pokemon Snap using the Toy-Con camera. Now, that being said, just because we didn't see anything now for the Toy-Con camera and Pokemon doesn't mean that we won't in the future. It also, just because I'm mentioning that I would like it, doesn't mean that Nintendo gives a crap what it is that I think is a good idea or what's maybe not a good idea. They're going to do what they're going to do. And that's something that we've learned from Nintendo over the years. Is Nintendo does what Nintendo does. But Ocean Camera, you take the Toy-Con camera and you go underwater and you can take pictures of fish and stuff. And it looked kind of cool. The graphics looked decent. They're not going for hyper-realistic, which is good because they've got a 720p screen, and going hyper-realistic would be a really bad idea. It just wouldn't look right on the Switch. So I like that they've got these cool cartoon environments that they're going into. The next thing that uses the Toy-Con camera is the house camera. They really have got to come up with more interesting names for these things. But the house camera says interact with the strange creature living in the house, which some people may recognize from the Nintendo Labo variety kit, and complete missions by taking photos in this mysterious home. So you kind of can move around in this house and take pictures of things. Again, cool, I guess, not for me. And actually, I should back up and say that everything that I saw in this video seemed like it would be really, really awesome for kids and some adults. But for me, I'm just not interested. But that doesn't mean that they shouldn't make it. I know that there's a lot of people out there that look at Labo and Labo VR, and they look at that and they say, why is Nintendo wasting time on this stuff? Well, the reason is because you're not their only customer. They have a lot of different customers, and Nintendo's always been about trying to reach as many people as they can rather than focusing on the people that they already have. And some may not like that about them, and others may really like that about them. I really like that Nintendo is making stuff for people who, you know, generally don't get to do this stuff. If you look at PSVR, Oculus Rift, all that stuff, they all kind of list like 13 as the age where it's okay to start using VR. And I know that there's really no definitive answers about whether or not there's no scientific reasoning behind it. It's just really, we don't know what extensive use of virtual reality does to the human brain or the eyes. And when you're a kid and your neural pathways are still being written and you're still growing and your eyes are still developing and everything about your body is constantly changing, exposing that to these stimuli, which may change how your eyes operate, like that would be a horrible thing. And we don't want to find out later that, you know, heavy use of PlayStation VR or Oculus Rift or HTC Vive, it like that has screwed up your vision forever, and you're going to walk around like all those people who wore glasses in The Jerk with Steve Martin. If you're not old like me, you have no idea what I'm talking about. And I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to spoil a wonderful, stupid, hilarious movie. But Steve Martin made this awesome movie back in the 80s called The Jerk. And there's a thing that happens with people who wear glasses in that movie, and it's great. And you wouldn't want that to happen to you because you were using PSVR when you were like 6 years old. So Nintendo, you know, they purposely left off like these straps and stuff to strap it to your head. And in their press release, they actually, and I know I've gone off on a tangent, and I'll get back to the games in a second, but in their press release, this is exactly what they said. They said, the VR mode should only be used by children ages 7 and older. Parents should restrict the display of VR mode for children 6 and under by accessing the in-game settings using the goggles icon. Users can easily turn off the VR feature and use the included screen holder instead of the VR goggles to enjoy any of the included games and experiences in 2D. All right. So not only did they get that age from 13 down to 7 by making it so it's not constantly strapped to your head and you got to hold it up, and chances are, by the time that it would do any damage to your eyes or your brain or whatever, your arms are going to get tired and you're going to want to put it down anyway. Like, I think that was a really good thing to do. That ranks up there with Nintendo taking cartridges and spraying them with a bitterant so that, or it, maybe ingesting a bitterant into the plastic, I don't know, so that if a kid picks up a cartridge from a Nintendo Switch and puts it in their mouth, they're like, well, oh my God, that tastes terrible, and they spit it out. That's brilliant because the cartridges are so small. I really like what Nintendo's doing here. But in addition to making it so that kids aren't going to use it for an extended period of time, they also give you a way to turn off the VR stuff so you can still play these games. So like, if you live in a house with multiple kids of different ages, and like Junior is 10, right? And that 10-year-old is playing Labo VR Kit all the time. And, you know, his younger brother or younger sister is watching him play this. And they're like, well, I want to play those games too. You can say, fine, go ahead. But we're going to make sure that you're not having these screens right up to your eyes because we don't know what that's going to do. So I like that Nintendo did that. Now, I went down a crazy tangent, went down a crazy rabbit hole. Let's get back on track and talk about the next set of games. So we talked about Ocean Camera and House Camera. Now I want to talk about Marble Run. Marble Run, it says, try to complete physics puzzles by using various objects to guide marbles through rings. You can even create puzzles of your own to challenge friends and family. So basically, this reminded me of these toys that I had when I was a kid, because we didn't have portable video games. We had these really cheap toys where you would have a plastic thing and it would be filled with water, and there was like a little ball that you would almost like pinball. You would pull a thing and it would shoot the ball up to the top, and then you had to kind of tilt this thing in your hand to get the ball back down to the bottom or to get it into a certain spot. And, you know, then you would show your brother and they'd say, give me that, I can do better than you, or whatever. It's kind of reminded me of that. This uses the Toy-Con elephant, and it's funny, none of the elephant, like, I don't know why they decided to go with an elephant as, like, I know they kind of have like an animal theme going on here, but they went with this with the elephant, and neither of the games that use the elephant are elephant themed, which I think is weird. Like, maybe do a thing where elephants are like picking up trees with their trunks or something, but instead you're an elephant using, well, no, you're not even an elephant. You're just using the elephant thing with this weird trunk where you've got one Joy-Con in front of you, like close to your face, and the other one is like on a stick, and you are just moving things around in this 3D place in order to make a path so that a ball can go from the top to the bottom. It's just so weird. Nintendo, Stay weird, Nintendo. I just love that about you. Then we've got another Toy-Con elephant game. And are you ready for the elephant theme? Well, too bad. No elephant theme. Because this one is called Doodle. And you are creating colorful 3D artwork. Oh, my goodness. Somebody just drove by my house very quickly. So anyway, create colorful 3D artwork by moving the trunk of the Toy-Con elephant through the air using various in-game tools and styles to bring your creations to life. Once finished, show off your masterpieces on the TV by docking your Nintendo Switch. An additional multiplayer game lets you take turns drawing and guessing each other's drawing. Okay, that's kind of cool. I still don't know why it's an elephant, but I'm willing to let that go and move on. This is kind of cool. I have seen some amazing things. Now, I don't have any VR stuff at my house. The main reason, I have a 10-year-old, and I don't think that I don't think it would be fair to him for me to have this ridiculously cool VR thing in the house and me say, nope, you can't touch it. Especially because he loves video games. So we don't have any VR in my house, but I have seen like some videos of people who are playing in VR, and they're, I think it was on the Oculus Rift, and they were painting in virtual reality. And this kind of does the same thing. And it's very, very cool. I loved what they were showing. I think that's really, really neat. And there's a lot of cool creative stuff that you can do. And that really kind of, that goes hand in hand with all of this Labo stuff. You know, it's all about creating stuff, which I really like. Now let's talk about the bird. This is the one where you've got the bird's butt, like right up against your face. I don't know who was in that meeting, but they decided that you're going to fold a bird out of out of cardboard, and then you're going to put your face up to its butt, and then in the game you're seeing it from like the just above the butt of the bird's view. So you can see the head of the bird and its wings kind of flapping in front of you as you're flying. So I don't know. It's weird, but that's okay. So the game that uses the Toy-Con bird is, of course, called, wait for it, Bird. Hey, have you heard the news about that bird being a word? So it's called Bird, and it just says, soar through the sky on a bird's back, collecting items and helping baby birds hatch along the way. Players flap the wings of the Toy-Con bird to fly and simply tilt it to turn. Okay, this seemed kind of cool. It reminded me a little bit of Pilot Wings. I think that you had to go and collect items, because I watched this video 3 or 4 days ago, and honestly, I just got back from a Taekwondo tournament for my son, and I should have rewatched the video before I sat down, but I didn't think about it. So I think you go and you get food things, and then you bring them to baby birds to feed them. I think that's the point of the game. Then there's Bird Dash. This one reminded me of Pilot Wings. Bird Dash, this uses the Toy-Con bird and the Toy-Con wind pedal. So let's take a second and talk about the wind pedal. The wind pedal is this thing. You put it on the floor and you put your foot on it, and every time you step on it, a big cardboard fan kind of flaps at you and gives you a breeze. So when you're playing this bird game, you can feel the air. This is so ingenious and weird, Nintendo. You can feel the air as you fly through, like the air is gusting against you every time you go a little bit faster. Because when you use the wind pedal, your character in game will go faster. Now, I almost wonder, like, how many Joy-Cons do you need for the wind pedal and the Toy-Con bird to all be used at the same time? Does that require 4 Joy-Cons? I'm not sure about that. That's interesting thought. Anyway, let's see what it says. It says, complete. My God, I can't read today. There's something wrong with my brain. Compete in timed challenges by racing through checkpoints as you fly through the sky. The Toy-Con wind pedal is used in conjunction with the Toy-Con bird to deliver an extra boost of speed while also sending a surprisingly strong puff of air towards the player that enhances the sense of flying. So genius that they did that. It's so weird. Now we're to the Toy-Con blaster. This is the thing that looks like a bazooka. I love what they did with this. You chamber around in that with the Toy-Con blaster like you do with a shotgun, and then it's got like a little thumb trigger. So cool. So this game is called Blaster, and it says battle an alien invasion and giant bosses in an on-rails experience that requires sharp reflexes and a keen eye. Of all the ones that I've seen so far, this one probably seems like the coolest for me. I'm still not going to buy it, though, because I don't want all this stuff in my house. And then another one that uses the blaster is Kablasta. It says, challenge a friend to competitive hippo feeding. So if you're thinking hungry, hungry hippos, yeah. Hungry, hungry hippos. Instead of controlling the hippo by pushing down on the tail, and like, if you're not old like me, you may have never played Hungry, Hungry Hippos. And, you know, when you get kids, you should play it with them because it's a cool game. But in that old game from the 70s, you hit the tail of the hippo and the head shoots out and grabs marbles that are like in this tray in the middle. And you've got four hippos all trying to compete for who can collect the most marbles. So for Kablasta, instead of controlling the hippo, you are using a gun to shoot fruit at the hippo. So this is another thing that benefits from not having to put it and strap it to your head. You use it on your turn, then you hand it to your friend or your kid or your parent or your sibling, and they use it. And you guys just kind of pass it back and forth and try and outdo each other for who can feed the most hippos in the shortest amount of time, I guess, or using the smallest amount of ammo. I thought that one looked pretty fun. Now we've got a second game for Toy-Con Wind Pedal. This is called Hop Dodge, and it's basically you are a frog, and you have to jump as high as you can on on an ever-growing stack of balls while avoiding obstacles and heading soccer balls. So you keep jumping up onto higher and higher stack of soccer balls, or maybe just other kind of balls, I'm not sure. And then when a soccer ball comes at you, you have to jump up and hit it with your head, which is very strange. This uses the wind pedal, so you stomp in order to jump, and you also, you know, the extra wind resistance from the wind pedal makes you feel like you're getting that breeze. Same thing as the bird game, the bird dash game. Then we've got the VR Plaza. This one uses all of the different stuff. So this one will probably come on both carts. And it says, enjoy 64 bite-sized games and experiences in VR Plaza, including platformers and puzzlers. Many of these experiences can be enjoyed using only the Toy-Con VR goggles and Nintendo Switch systems. So that's actually kind of cool. The other thing that is really important about this is the, I forget what it's called, Garage. It's kind of like Garage Band or Toy-Con Garage VR. Is this tool, like the other Toy-Con stuff came with a garage where you could make your own things, if that makes sense. Make your own like programs. It has inputs and outputs and kind of teaches kids simple programming, like if then statements, that kind of thing, which is good for helping kids figure out how logic works and troubleshoot the things that they want to do. So when I turn this knob on my cardboard thing, that's going to make the frog's eyes get bigger or something like that. So they do the same thing with the VR kit. You can basically make your own little VR creations using the tools that Nintendo has given us, you know, be it the wind pedal, the blaster, the bird, or the elephant, or the camera. And I think that that's really cool. Now, again, I've said this before and I'll say it again. I don't want this stuff in my house. I'm not interested in having it in my house. But I know that there's people out there with young kids who, and this is a way for them to get creative. And in addition to getting creative and doing these fun games, the kids are also playing with a physical thing to build the little cardboard models. And they're learning to follow directions, which I think is really cool too. So I think that this is very, very awesome if you've got young kids. It can also be awesome for people of any age. Just, I think it really shines if you've got young kids. But I am not interested in this for one reason and one reason alone. I don't want this stuff in my house. There's just too much stuff and it takes up too much room. And my cats would just destroy it anyway. They'd be like, oh my God, cardboard. Cardboard is like, that's cat stuff. Thank you for buying me some cardboard stuff, human. Let me scratch the heck out of it. So it's not for me. Now, if you want to get the, so those were the two expansion sets that I listed off separately. If you want to get the VR kit, it says available at a suggested retail price of $79.99. So that's the $80 one. It says the complete Nintendo Labo VR kit includes the software, the materials to build all six projects. So that means the goggles, the blaster, the camera, the bird, the wind pedal, the elephant, and as well as a screen holder. And it comes with like the plastic goggles that go in that actually takes what's on the screen and makes it two separate things so that you can see things in three dimensions. Also comes with a screen holder and other accessories. If you want everything, that's what you want to get. It's going to cost you $80. If you want to just get the starter set, then you can get the starter set and the blaster, and that's $40. The starter set comes with the VR goggles thing, the Toy-Con blaster, the screen holder, and other stuff. And then the expansion set gets you the that's what I listed at the beginning of the story. So I think that VR kit, while there's many people out there who have said, this is not what we want from VR, okay, fine, then don't buy it. It's not for you. It's not for me. And that's okay. You know, get your PSVR, get your Oculus Rift, get your HTC Vive. That's for you. This isn't what Nintendo had in mind. And I personally wouldn't want Nintendo to try and do what those other people are doing because the Switch doesn't have the screen or the power for it. And it would just be a bad experience all around.
If you're going to spend your time playing video games, why not play them on something that can also teach you about computing? Get a Commodore 64 or VIC-20.
Well, holy cow, I talked about that Labo VR stuff for a really long time. Am I recording right now? I am. Okay, I had to zoom in on my podcasting stuff. I talked about that for a really long time. So I'm going to take the rest of the show and just junk it for today. I will talk about this next time, but just going to put a little bug in your ear so that you can think about this. I want to talk about games, indie titles that not a lot of people know about. And I've got two that are good examples. Horizon Chase Turbo, awesome racing game. Skies of Fury, really cool World War I airplane combat game, dogfighting game. Those are real two games that, you know, if I have time, I will talk more about those on the next episode. But I want to know what are some awesome indie titles that you guys love that you feel like not a lot of people know about. So not Stardew Valley, not Golf Story, because those got tons of coverage. I'm talking about stuff that not everybody knows about. So you can email me, runjumpstomp@gmail.com. You can yell at me on Twitter, @runjumpstomp, or you can call and leave a message using the Anchor app. The Anchor app is free. It's on both Android and iOS. You simply find your show, which is Nintendo Switchcraft. You find that show. After you find that show, you click on it. And then in the top, right below the star, is a button that says message. You click that message, hold the phone up to your ear, and send me a message, and I'll play it on the show. Anyway, before we get out of here, I want to take a second and talk about the giveaway. In 7 days, I'm giving away this copy of LEGO DC Supervillains. This was gifted to me by a listener and a very good friend of mine named Bravd. I'm giving this out to U.S. residents only because shipping is ridiculous when you get outside the U.S. If you haven't signed up for this, there's only 7 days left. And if you want to sign up for it, it's super easy to do. Head on over to the website, which I have forgotten the URL that you have to go to. So right now I am vamping while I find the URL because I've forgotten it again. It is runjumpstomp.com/. Have you typed that yet? Type that. runjumpstomp.com/NSC-LEGO. And when you get there, the password is Batman. This is just for listeners, so don't tell anybody else. Thank you guys for listening. Yeehaw! That's it for this episode of Nintendo Switchcraft. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you join our community over at runjumpstomp.com/discord. We call it the Nerd Nest. Get over there, join the over 500 other people, and have an awesome conversation with rad people. If you're looking for ways to support the show, stop by runjumpstomp.com/thank you. And if you're looking for more shows like this, check out runjumpstomp.com/shows. That's where you're going to find StadiaCast, which I mentioned at the beginning of the show. My other gaming show, Run Jump Stomp. Make sure that you head on over to runjumpstomp.com/shows and subscribe to all of them because they're all awesome like this one. If you want to check out the music from today's episode, it's Note Block, the Balloon Trip Remix. And if you want to check out any music, it's easy to find. Go to runjumpstomp.com/music. I will see you guys all next time. Until then, stay awesome.